You're here this morning, especially those that are visiting. We're super glad to have you and hope that you'll come back and be with us. I don't know why that we shouldn't think of ourselves as a team. We are God's team. That's what it's about. And that's the reason that we are dressed as we are this morning, Beverly and Michaela and myself. And it's hard to resist wearing something like that. The only one's got more is UCLA, and they ain't been in basketball news for I don't know how long. They still got a team out there or not. I don't know if they play. But anyway, we're here this morning, and we're happy to be here. I'm going to use Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 this morning. And this verse says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's recruiting. That's exactly what that is. That's recruiting. And as all of you that follow Kentucky basketball know, now we got a lot of Kentucky basketball fans. I preached Merle Bush's funeral this week, and Merle's been a big Kentucky fan for many, many years. And I noticed even at the funeral, did you notice that, Greg, that they had a big banner up front there by the casket, because and it honored him because of his desire to see Kentucky do well. We've had some here that were more than ardent fans. I always remember Gracie Motes. Gracie, if Kentucky had a game on Sunday and it was going to start pretty close to the end of church time, she'd say, "You know, you're going to cut it a little bit short today? You're going to cut it a little short, you know?" She'd always remind me, you know, about it and everything. So she was a big fan as well. And we've got several people here today that are. Some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning are just as basic as they can possibly be about Christianity. We're not here today to tout basketball as much as we are about touting Christianity. That's what's important to us. But we know basketball. And some of the things that always really bothers me about it is you can ask anybody that's a real fan of basketball on their particular team, they'll know who all the players are. But they can't name 12 apostles. You can tell maybe a rival team, and they'll know who all of them are, even down to the bench warmers. But they can't name the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm always thinking, why is that? Is basketball that much more important to us than our Christianity? And sometimes I think it is. And we're gonna mention that this morning. But I want to talk to you first of all about recruiting, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus recruits. Nobody has ever played basketball at the University of Kentucky that didn't want to play basketball there. They were there because they wanted to be. And that's what Christianity is about. Jesus does not draft people to his team. No draftees. You got to want to. He says, "If any man will follow after me," you got to want to. There has to be a desire there. You know, I think that there are a lot of young men that would like to come to Kentucky and be basketball players there, but everybody doesn't have the opportunity to do that. But in the sake of Christianity and Jesus being our coach, we've all got an opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity. Another thing that he says, let him deny himself, and I think that's important. I got to noticing this year, and I know some of you are better involved in it than I am, but the kind of people that Coach Calipari recruited this year, all of them were good basketball players before they ever came to Kentucky. They had something like 25 points average or something like that. But when they came to Kentucky, the coach said, "You may not be a 25-point maker here at Kentucky. Just because you did that in high school may not necessarily mean that you're going to get 25 points. Everybody on that team is not going to make 25 points, and that's what you're used to doing." And so Jesus said, let him deny himself. So if you go to Kentucky to play basketball, you're going to have to deny yourself. Even though you've been a big star maybe for 3 or 4 years, the high school where you came from, when you come to Kentucky to play basketball, you may not be
the big star ain't over. And you know, it amazed me how he was able to take 5, 6, 7 men, young men, and make a team out of them that were all stars before they got there. Because there's a certain amount of ego goes with. There's a certain amount of ego that goes with our lives before we become Christians. That is, we do what we want to do. We go the way that we want to go. We do the things that we want to do. But when we become Christian, we can't do that anymore. We're going to be on God's team. We're going to have to deny self. We're going to have to put self in some other part. And give up self, and we're going to have to contribute to the whole. And that's what Jesus tells us, fire and swear, before we become Christian. If you become my follower, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to deny self. Take up the cross and follow after you. When he says, follow me, you know what he's really saying? You're going to have to go by the rules that I said. Now, you can't go with your rules anymore. Now, there's so many people today that when they become Christians, and I'll put that in quotes, they want to just keep following the same ways that they did before they became Christians. They want to go to the same places. They want to circulate with the same friends. And some of those friends sometimes are not good for them. They want to do the same things. You got to deny self, take up the cross, and follow after me. That's what Jesus says. Yeah, so if you're going to play ball with the same at the University of Kentucky, you're going to have to follow what your coach tells you to do. You can't any longer. I can't imagine. Now, that Calipari would say, we'll all live together around, tell me how you used to do it. Maybe I can pick up some tips from how you used to do things. That's not the way he coaches. He doesn't do it that way. He's got his own agenda, and if you come to Kentucky, you're going to have to do it his way. And if we become Christians, we're going to have to do it Christ's way. And in recruiting, that's one of the things that we find. So that's it.
There's another thing, fundamentals. Now, I put down fundamentals. I could have just as well left it out, but I thought it was pretty important. You know, you don't have to know everything when you come to the University of Kentucky to play basketball. I notice they get a lot of good players, and they're schooled in the fundamentals, but they don't know everything. A lot of them have to change some of the things that they thought was right. It might have been that the coach that they had while they were in high school did things a whole different way than Calipari does it. But they're pretty well schooled in the fundamentals. I notice the ones, it seems to me, every once in a while, there'll be somebody gets tripped up, but they're pretty good ball handlers. Pretty good ball handlers. Even the big men, I've seen a lot of big men on other teams wasn't very good ball handlers, but when they come to Kentucky, I notice he gets pretty good ball. They're schooled in the fundamentals. I heard this said a few years ago, and those of you that are better basketball fans than I am will know what I'm speaking of. But they say that coaches' sons make the best basketball players. If somebody might remember a point guard that Kentucky had a few years ago, his name was Travis Ford. His daddy was a coach. And he was schooled in the fundamentals. He was a good ball player. Kyle Macy, anybody remember that name? Now I'm kind of getting on back. I don't know which one. There it is. That was his area. He was a good ball handler. He was schooled in the fundamentals. He was schooled in making foul shots. That's fundamental. We all got tickled at Kelly Hudson up the store one day. Kelly was kind of upset because we, Kentucky, was missing too many free throws. Kelly said, there's no reason to miss free throws. Nobody guarding you, nobody bothering you, and everybody standing back out of your way, and you got a straight shot to the... No reason. He said they need to practice free throws. He said, I just can't remember the whole time that I was in high school that I ever missed a free throw. And Amos Runner said, I think you also need to work on your memory a little, Kelly. Fundamentals. Those are the things that we need. You know, there's a lot of those things that they don't do that are fundamentals. And so fundamentals are usually there, but there's some things in fundamentals. You know, it's easier for a young person who has been brought up in the church to make a good Christian because he's been taught it all of his life. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody didn't grow up in the church can't be a Christian. A few years ago, I don't remember who it was now, Greg or Ryan or some of them might remember, but there was a boy that never did play high school ball and made a good college player. Can you imagine that? He wasn't even schooled in the fundamentals, but he made a good college player. And then every once in a while, you will get one from Turkey or the Congo or someplace that never had a basketball in his hands in his life, don't know anything about the fundamentals, but he winds up making a pretty good player. I've seen some people that were not schooled in the fundamentals of Christianity that turned out to be good Christians. Don't mean you can't, but it's just a whole lot easier. Parents, grandparents, bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let them be schooled in the fundamentals, and it'll be better for them as they go along. Number three, and here's one that I really like. I had to put this one in, and that's position. You know, when people are recruited, there's already a position in mind for them to play. Sometimes it gets changed. But sometimes we don't think too much about the position. And all of us as Christians and in church, there's a position for us. Now, I noticed this year that one of our best players, maybe the best, his name was Anthony Davis. And this boy was 6'10" tall, and you knew what he did up front. He was number one in the nation on shot blocking. I don't know how many other honors that he got, but I was surprised to learn that just a couple of years ago he was 6'3" and he played point guard. And he is a good ball handler to be as tall as he is. You don't see him like that come along very often. And one of the things that I noticed about him, now he was kind of kidding the coach a little bit, and one of the news reporters asked him, said, "Have you got any regrets?" And he said, "Yeah, I regretted that Coach Calipari wouldn't let me play point guard." 6'10", he wouldn't play point guard. See, that's not his position. And Calipari told him, he said, "If you'll come back next year, I'll let you play point guard." I don't think he's going to be there. But he was just kidding, too. So we've got different positions. Kyle Macy's one of the best basketball players I ever saw, but he wasn't a center. That wouldn't have been his position. You got point guards, you got shooting guards, you got forwards, you got center. You got people that do different things, but we're not all cut out to do the same thing. Sometimes in the church, we think that the things that we do for the Lord are pretty trivial. They don't really amount to much. I want to tell you something. The person that comes out here and fixes the Lord's Supper is just as important as anybody else. The person that cleans the building up is just as important as anybody. There are no positions in the Lord's church that are trivial positions. They're all important. Now, we can't all lead the singing. Greg can lead the singing. Everybody else can't lead the singing. There's different positions. And we ought to do the thing that is best for the church and it's best for the team. I cannot do what Debbie Lyons does. I can't do it. There's no way on some Sunday morning that I would ask somebody else to take over my class and say, "Debbie, I'm going to teach your class today." There's no way. I'm not cut out for that. But she is good at it. She is really good at it. But that's her position. That's the position that she plays. And all of us have positions that we play. All things that we do in church. Some of us can do one thing and some something else. And for a 6'10 player say, "I want to be a point guard," that's not his thing. Another thing is discipline. We have to learn to obey. There's rules that we have to go by. And position after position is discipline. We have to obey the coach. I'm sure that as the preacher here at Mount Zion, you don't like everything that I've got to say. Sometimes I may get on you a little bit. I may exhort you a little bit. I may rebuke you a little bit, but that's my job. You don't have to like everything that I say. I don't believe, and I've seen this, and you have too, from the sidelines, when somebody does something that's kind of not the way that Coach Calipari has drawn it up on the board, you know, he kind of gets after them a little bit. They don't like to hear everything that Calipari says. And you as a Christian don't want to hear everything that I've got to say. But it's my place and it's my job to do that. And I'm doing it on behalf of the Lord. Not because that's what I want to do. Not because I feel that I'm really suited to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. As it said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. But that's what I'm commanded to do. We are told that we are to do that. And so we have to have it. We have to do that on our children. And it has to be done with God's children as well. Sometimes we don't like to hear it. I'm sure they don't. But it's something that needs to be done. Here's one that I really like right here. And this is work ethic. Anybody that comes to Kentucky to play basketball, he better have work ethic. I was thinking about a boy that played a few years ago. His name was Jeff Brasso. Some of you remember Jeff. He wasn't the most talented ball player that I ever saw. But what I admired him for is the coach said that he had more floor burns than anybody else. Floor burns. That's what you had to respect about him. He would go where the ball is. He would dive for that ball. It didn't make any difference. If it went three rows back, he'd go get it. Sometimes he'd hurt himself trying to go after the ball. He had a work ethic. He always gave 100% every time. He never did make a big star. I don't know if he went pro or anything. Never heard about him. But boy, did he have a work ethic. And that's what gets the job done. And sometimes, even though they don't have the most talent in the world, that work ethic will overcome a lot. We talked about in our Sunday school class this morning that love will cover a multitude of sins. A work ethic will overcome a lot of lack of talent. A work ethic. Somebody that will really work at it and work hard. And you know, that's what we do as Christians today. We don't need those that are lazy, the ones that shun away from the things that need to be done. Another thing that we need in church, just like we do on a basketball, is teamwork. I noticed a few teams this year, and some of you know this again better than I do, but some of them were prominent teams. One that comes to mind to me this year was Michigan State. And some of you noticed that they had a lot of talent on that team. But they didn't win the national championship. And I heard one of the sportscasters on ESPN making his comments about it, and I don't know if he's that much smarter than any of the rest of us, but he did say this. He said, the reason that Michigan State didn't go any further than what they did, didn't win it all, is because they never did get the teamwork concept. Some of the rest of you hear that. They never did really grasp the teamwork concept. That's where you have five players, and all of them are stars when you recruit them and you put them on that team. And they never do really gel and come together as a team. You just got five individuals out there playing basketball. Now, that's what they said about Michigan State, and that's all I can tell you about it. But it makes sense to me. Teamwork, unity, members working together as individuals. You know, one of the things that really impressed me, well, I spoke about Anthony Davis a while ago. I can recall one game he had right there near the game, the end. Top basketball, college basketball player in the United States, and he made 6 points that night. Anybody remember that? Made 6 points, and four of them was foul shots. And you know, they was all chuckling and snickering about it, all the sportscasters. And they asked Calipari about it after the ball game was over, said, this big star of yours, this big 6'10 man that gets all these blocks and everything, he made 6 points. And you know, it didn't bother Calipari a bit in the world. He wasn't ashamed of it. He didn't say anything about it. He said, somebody else got those points, and we won, and that's what we're after. Teamwork. You know, he counts on about just about as much from assist as he does the person that makes points. That counts with him. You know, that's the way it ought to be in the Lord's church. The people that fix the Lord's Supper and the people that clean the building and the people that teach, that's assist. It's just as important as scoring. I'm the only one usually does the baptizing out here. Is that a more important job than these other jobs that we're talking about this morning? No, it's not. It's the teamwork concept. It's what we all do together on God's team that gets the job done. Teamwork. Here's another one, number seven, that's rules. When you play the basketball game, same rules applies everywhere. We don't go out of our conference into somebody else's conference and find that the rules have changed. We still play basketball rim, is still 10 foot off the floor, still got a backboard, floor still 94 feet long, still got a dribble when you're handling the ball. The rules are the same. And that's the way that the rules are in the Bible. I'm going to show you the rule book. Right here it is. This is the rule book. The rules don't change. Now, men try to change them from time to time. And, you know, there's a lot of arguing with the referee. But that don't change the rules. I heard former coach, the late coach Al McGuire, say one time that he did not allow his players to argue with the referees. He just didn't allow it. He said, even though you think that you're in the right, he said, you might think you're in the right and you might even be in the right. Don't argue with the referees. How many times do we say, well, I'm in the right and the Bible's in the wrong? This is the rule book and this is what God is going to judge us by. Not by what we think, but we're going by the rule book. It is the final authority and it cannot be argued against and it will not be changed. And so we need to understand that we have to play by the rules. Point number eight, that's practice. Practice makes perfect. Kelly Hudson said that if you're a poor foul, a free throw shooter, practice. If you can't hit a free throw, keep shooting free throws till you can make one. Just keep shooting. So, you know, that's what we need to do as Christians. The thing that we're the weakest at is what we all practice the hardest on. If we're pretty good at something already, then we sort of got that. But what we're weak on, now, for example, if we're weak in prayer, you know what the remedy for that is? Pray more. The more you pray, the better you'll get. The more foul shots you shoot, and the more you work on it, the better you'll get at it. If you're weak in prayer, go home and pray more. Pray and pray and pray, and I'll guarantee you, you'll get better. Christianity and teamwork is about practice. That's what God wants us to do. Work harder. Practice to prosper. Point number nine. And that is, in Christianity, we have to be unselfish. Notice again what our scripture reading was this morning. Let him deny himself. Unselfishness. Unselfishness. One of the things that really always gets me when I'm watching a basketball game, and somebody, they steal the ball or they get in possession of the ball, and then boy, they head for the other end just as hard as they can go. They're going to make a layup maybe. And they got a teammate on the other side, and then they get covered. Instead of passing that ball to that teammate and letting him shoot, they try to shoot themselves, get fouled, get knocked down, miss the basket, and all he had to have done was passed it to his teammate who could have made that shot, maybe. But sometimes they want their name in the headline so badly and they want to make so many points that they just won't give it up. And sometimes that's the way that we are as Christians. God wants us to be unselfish, give up ourselves for the benefit of our fellow man. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. But it's hard for us to learn that. And sometimes it's because of our selfish attitude. Point number 10. That's fouls. Now, playing basketball in NCAA, you foul five times and you're out. You sit on the bench. You don't get back in the game until the next one. We have unlimited fouls in Christianity. And a foul is just simply described as a violation of the rules. Sometimes we see fouls that are intentional fouls, and boy, that's a bad one, intentional foul. They'll really get you for that. If it's too bad, they call it a flagrant foul. You may have to be sitting on the bench the rest of it, maybe even kick your plumb out of the gym. But then there are other kind of fouls. It's where you intended to do it, but they wasn't flagrant fouls. But there's also some fouls that we just didn't intend to. Sometimes we sin in our lives we didn't really intend to. Sometimes we get it called on us when we don't think we really did it. And we'll tell the coach, I don't think I'm guilty about this, but the foul still got called. Sometimes people do things against us in Christianity that we just don't think's right. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes we pout. Sometimes we won't speak to that person. But it's still a foul. And sometimes we make it worse by our attitude. But I'll tell you something about those that fail. In Christianity and in the church, it's kind of like basketball, in that the ones that do the most fouling are the hardest working ones. You ever notice that? It happens in church. It sure does. People that work the hardest in church have the most criticism and sometimes the most fouls. They have more criticism directed at them. The guys that are sitting on the bench that never get to play, never get a foul called on, never make a point, nobody ever says anything about them. It's the people that are out there doing the work that usually gets the fouls called on. That's the way it is in Christianity, almost exactly the same way. Don't worry about fouls. There's always the next game. And then last of all is the reward. Right here's the reward. I got it on this morning. That's the reason I wore it. That's eight of them for Kentucky. Isn't that nice? I think that's great. The only one's got any more than we do is UCLA, and of course, like I said, they haven't been heard from for quite some time. I was really happy to see it. Really was. I wanted to win. We went out the other day to, what was it, Beverly Macy's, and they must have had 1,000 Kentucky shirts of one kind or another in there. Some of them too high. I didn't see a Louisville shirt in the place. Not a one. I ain't got anything against Louisville. Didn't see one. Seen one Duke shirt. It had UK right in the middle of it. I don't know how much it cost. I didn't look at the tag on it and everything. Thought about you, though. But boy, they had the Kentucky shirts. There's a reward. There's success. And for Christianity, you don't get a shirt. You get heaven. You get heaven. That's what Jesus said. He promised it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise. And that's a winner. I tell you what the church needs. The church needs two things that the University of Kentucky's got. And I'm not talking about just the church at Mount Zion. I'm talking about the church in general now. And that is, we need more enthusiasm. That's the first thing we need. You go to a Kentucky game, there'll be enthusiasm. Last time we was up there, Greg, 24,000 seats, every one of them full. Sold out. In most Kentucky games, you can't get a ticket. Enthusiasm. I heard Dick Vitale say this, and I ain't a big Dick Vitale fan, but he said Kentucky's got the greatest fan base of any university in the whole United States of America. Number one. They go everywhere following their basketball team. Enthusiasm. That's what the church needs. They need more enthusiasm. This church building right here holds 200 people. Most of the time, we've got about a third of that. We need more enthusiasm. We've got the winning formula. There's no question about it. We got the rule book. It's right here. Question is, how enthusiastic are we about it? And it shows in attendance. You can't get a... enthusiasm and attendance go hand in hand. You might notice Western this year, and I'm not down in Western, I'm just telling it like it is. They had a few games up there this year that they said they had less than 1,000 people. I don't know how much that EA Dental Arena holds, but several thousand, a whole lot more than that, huh?
About 7,400.
About 7,400, and it never was full. Enthusiasm and attendance go hand in hand. I imagine when they played in the Final Four and in the final game in New Orleans, I doubt if you could get a ticket. I doubt that you could. Enthusiasm and attendance go hand in hand. Here's another thing I've noticed about Kentucky. The weather just don't get too bad to play a ball game. You ever noticed that? If it snows, you don't hear it on ESPN. Hey, Kentucky's game's been canceled tonight. They haven't anyway. How many times for us that there are things that deter us from attendance? Well, it's our lack of enthusiasm. How many times? Well, there's an inch of snow. I don't guess we better go today. Boy, that's a cold wind blowing today. I believe we'll just stay home today. There's 100 things that we can find to keep us out of church that Kentucky fans never find to be a problem. If you want to do something bad enough, you'll just about do it. Just about do it. I guess different people are impressed with different things. Different things about this ball team that will impress you that might not impress me and vice versa. But I had Ryan to put our team up here on the board this morning. We're not all here. Some of us are absent, and I don't know why. Now, you can't do that on Kentucky's ball team. You don't show up for a game, you're in trouble. It's worse than a foul. But on God's team, God does forgive. But we ought to be more enthusiastic. And attendance is one of those things where we could be more enthusiastic. One other thing that I want to cover, and then I'm going to done. I guess the thing that bothers me most, may not bother you at all, but bothers me most, is they'll get these recruits, they'll come in, play 1 year, and they call it a one and done. Play 1 year, and then they'll go pro. And I understand. The pro scouts come look at them. They offer them millions of dollars, and hey, they're liable to get hurt, not have a career, not make that kind of money. They call them one and dones. Very few of them stay and get their degree. And that's what God wants us to do in the church. He wants us to stay, not no one and dones. Church has got too many one and dones. They stay up, they're recruited, they get on the team, but they stay a little while, and then where are they? Where are they? They're gone. They don't stay and get their degree. God wants you to get your degree, and that degree is the day of judgment. It's when you hear those words, well done, enter in. That's your degree. Stay with it. Stay with it all the way. Give it all that you've got. I think there's a lot of similarities. And I wanted to use that this morning. I hope you got something out of it. I think that there's something there for us.
Amen.